Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Prothena Biosciences, we had the pleasure of speaking with Jack Corey, MD, about the ongoing Phase 3 AFFIRM-AL trial in amyloid light chain amyloidosis. Dr. Corey is an assistant professor of medicine at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine, an associate staff in the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Corey discussed unmet needs in AL amyloidosis, the potential for bertamumab to become a new frontline standard of care beyond daratumumab, and the importance of confirming earlier post-hoc results from the placebo-controlled Phase 3 VITAL trial in the ongoing AFFIRM-AL trial in patients with Mayo Stage 4 AL amyloidosis with cardiac involvement. Could you outline some of the unmet needs for patients with AL amyloidosis with cardiac involvement?
Many of our patients with AL amyloidosis respond very well to the treatments that we give them to suppress the plasma cell clone. With the addition of daratumumab to the original standard of care, we've gotten people really into deep hematologic responses. Despite that, many of our patients do not recover their cardiac function. So although they drop their light chains very well, we're really good at killing off the bad plasma cell clone that drives the disease, many people with cardiac amyloidosis do not really recover their heart function. And that really can shorten their survival and affect their quality of care remarkably. The treatments are definitely better. We can definitely do better for our patients to improve their survival.
What patient and disease characteristics should be considered before determining optimal treatment for these patients?
You know, we look at their cardiac function and we look at their light chain burden to classify them. We do have a staging system that we call the Mayo staging system, which was developed by the Mayo Clinic. And we look at the patient's light chains to kind of see how many of those bad proteins they have in their blood that can help kind of classify them into, you know, one of four categories along with their cardiac markers. So we look at their troponin and we look at their NT-proBNP. And those two markers, along with their light chain burden, can put them into one of four categories. So we have Mayo stage 1 up to Mayo stage 4. With Mayo stage 4 being worse, way worse. And these are the patients with advanced cardiac disease. There's a cardiac grading system too that has been developed and that can really help. But the main staging system is still the Mayo staging system.
Could you elaborate just a little bit more on some of the limitations of standard plasma cell directed therapies and the toxicities associated with these therapies?
The treatments are pretty well tolerated, although the main study, the Andromeda study, which looked at this combination of treatment, did exclude some patients with advanced cardiac disease. And those were patients with what we call stage 3B cardiac amyloidosis. Those patients were excluded from the study. But in real life, we do give the treatment to all of our patients. And the tolerability has been really, really good. One thing that people used to worry about with daratumumab especially was the volume overload issue, which happens obviously with the intravenous formulation, which we do not use anymore. We use subcutaneous formulation of daratumumab, which does not really cause volume overload. From that standpoint, we're doing much better. One issue though is the dexamethasone part of our treatment, which is a steroid, and steroids can have a multitude of side effects, especially with volume overload and salt retention and fluid retention and things like that. So that's something that I tend to follow very closely. You know, I have a very low threshold to drop the dose on the dexamethasone for many of our patients. As soon as I see that they're responding very well, and if they're having issues with that, I tend to really to drop the dose. But overall, the treatments that we give are very well tolerated.
So obviously, daratumumab being a CD38 antibody, how would you say that this differs from that of bertamumab?
Daratumumab targets the plasma cell that's the origin of the amyloidogenic light chain. Bertamumab targets the actual light chain that's causing the amyloid. So Dara kills the bad cell. That's the cell that manufactures the bad protein. Bertamumab targets the actual protein that causes amyloidosis.
What were some of the key findings from the VITAL trial?
So the VITAL study was a phase 3 randomized study that looked at treatment-naive AL and low-dosis patients that are, about to receive standard of care plasma cell-directed therapy. And it randomized them into placebo or bortezomib. So everybody got standard of care treatment. That was before daratumumab was approved. So they all got bortezomib, cyclophosphamide, and dexamethasone, with or without bortezomib. The study had probably 250 to 260 patients, and 30% of those patients had Mayo stage 4 AL amyloidosis. So 30% of the patients had really advanced cardiac AL amyloidosis. So the study, it was terminated when the results of the PRONTO study came out that showed that actually bortezomib did not really show a difference. So a futility analysis was run and the VITAL study was terminated early. However, a post hoc analysis was done on the VITAL study that looked at the primary endpoint and secondary endpoint. So the primary endpoint was time to all-cause mortality that was improved in patients with Mayo stage 4 AL amyloidosis. So time to all-cause mortality was better in patients with advanced disease. So 74% of the patients were still alive at 9 months in the bortezomib cohort versus 49% in the placebo cohort. So that was really very significant. And the hazard ratio was 0.4, which is also very significant. So it seemed like patients who have really advanced disease do benefit and they do live longer with bortezomib. That was the main post hoc analysis that was done on that study, which led to the AFFIRM-AL study, which we currently are enrolling for.
Could you elaborate on the design of the AFFIRM-AL trial?
So the AFFIRM-AL study is a randomized, double-blind, multicenter study that's looking at Mayo stage 4 patients only. So only the subset of patients is enrolling on this study, and they're being randomized to either bortezomib or placebo in combination with standard of care treatment, including daratumumab. So this study is also allowing daratumumab, which is different from the VITAL study, which at the time we didn't have daratumumab approved. And the patients are, getting either bortezomib or placebo at a 2-to-1 ratio. So more patients are getting bortezomib versus placebo, which is also a good thing for our patients. The primary endpoint for this study is all-cause mortality, and the secondary endpoints are going to be quality of life measures mostly. And the study is open, I think, at more than 120 sites, which is a really good thing because we need to, include as many sites as we can given the rare subset of patients that we're dealing with.
Do you anticipate any barriers to enrollment for this trial?
One of the issues that we've had as a center that's trying to enroll for this study is, first of all, we're dealing with a very rare disorder. AL amyloidosis is considered a rare disease. Not just that, we're enrolling, a certain subset of patients, of a rare disorder, which is Mayo stage 4 patients. This study is only for Mayo stage 4 patients. So we're only enrolling a certain subset of patients that have a rare disorder. So it's a very small patient population. The good thing is there are many centers that do have the study open. So hopefully we're covering a wide area, catchment area for this disorder. So that's one of the obstacles that we have with this study. Another obstacle is these patients are very sick when they come to us. Many of them, they do have other problems that, basically do not allow them to enroll on clinical trials. A third, there's a cutoff on their NT-proBNP, which is a cardiac biomarker that, does not really allow many patients to enroll. The cutoff is 8,500. And many of our patients who have really advanced cardiac disease, their NT-proBNP level is really high, much higher than 8,500. There has to have a certain cutoff for their NT-proBNP to classify them as Mayo stage 4. So we are kind of limited in terms of, how much of that NT-proBNP elevation we can allow. So that's understandable. But many of our patients that come to us, they do have really high NT-proBNP that could preclude them from going on study. Another issue is some of our patients have orthostatic hypotension. It can be hard for them to walk, which can be a problem because the study needs a 6-minute walk test to determine eligibility. So that's another problem. But in my mind, the two most common obstacles to enroll on this study are the fact that we're dealing with a rare disorder and even a certain subset of that disorder, which makes the patient population very small. And we have to really widening our, you know, catchment area. And two, the NT-proBNP cutoff, which is necessary because we're only dealing with Mayo stage four patients. But that also does not allow a lot of our sick cardiac amyloidosis patients to be eligible.
What would you say are the next steps for the trial? And I guess, what would your advice be to practicing clinicians to ensure that patients have the opportunity to enroll and are not just started on, immediately on daratumumab?
The company and the investigators are working very closely to see how we can actually increase awareness of the AFFIRM-AL study. We are trying to reach out to regional sites and remote sites to basically raise awareness and increase referral to centers that have the study open. So that's something in progress, and the company is working on that with us. Ad boards are being done to basically just, you know, increase awareness as well. What some centers are doing, including ours, is trying to communicate frequently with our regional sites to keep reminding people that, you know, if you have an amyloid patient that you think, you know, has Mayo stage four disease and, you know, could qualify for study, please let us know. And we do see these patients at main campus. We ask them to refer them to main campus, and then we can determine eligibility here. So it's mostly, you know, trying to raise awareness, you know, about this study, especially the awareness at remote sites and regional sites to increase the referral base, you know, webinars and increasing awareness about AL amyloidosis, even teaching about the disease, you know, teaching clinicians who don't see this every day like we do here, and, you know, telling people about this study and things like that.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Prothena Biosciences. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.